Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who are listening to us on their radio, our sanctuary is located at 4071 North Foster Road. Free parking, too. If anyone is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, join us here any Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's opening scripture is taken from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12 and 23 and 24. And this is from the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you, but the night shines like the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Please stand for the call to worship. The title of it is A Modern Affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose love to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, as a divine presence in our lives,
we are kept in perpetual remembrance
of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord to the end, that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, there's so many things and so much that we don't understand. And sometimes it seems like, Lord, we're just walking around in a fog. This morning, Lord, I ask this morning in the name of Jesus that you would clear our hearts, that you would clear our minds, that we would be able to see clearly and have the right relationship that we need with you. Lord, we pray that you would put the spirit of love in each one of us, Lord. Help us to be able to love and be kind and to hold on to you. And bless this congregation in a mighty way. We thank you for all that are present and all that are coming. And we thank you, Lord, for those that are not able to be here. We pray that you would be with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, good morning. You know, I want to say this. I want you to stand first. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. And I want you this morning, as you walk around and you shake each other's hand, I want you to give whoever you talk to a word of encouragement. Just say something encouraging to them. Amen? Amen. Because you know what encouragement does? Never mind. You'll hear about that in the sermon. But you just shake hands or whatever and give someone a word of encouragement. Amen. Amen. Something simple. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen. 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 We're praying for you. Amen. God bless you. There you go.
As we're finding our way back to our seats, if you would please stand and let's join in our opening hymn, Morning Has Broken. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rain to fall on the open heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the dawn light, Eden so plain. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Please be seated. As usual, I encourage you to take your bulletin with you when you leave and use it throughout the week. We do have our prayers requests in here. Take time to look over those and to keep those needing prayer in continuous uplifting to God. Also, please pay attention to the calendar for the week. We've got activities going on throughout the week. Find a way that you can become more involved. On Tuesday, we do have the ladies' Bible study in Building B, and on Wednesday, the Oasis group meets Wednesday evening in John Lemons Hall. And under penalty of severe bodily harm, I was told that I must tell you, on Thursday is lunch bunch, and all are invited to lunch bunch. Be at 11 a.m., and this time we're going to be at an Italian restaurant, Bella Sierra. It's on Pat Booker Road. According to what I've got, it's 2931 Pat Booker Road. It's in the same shopping area where Dollar Tree is located, up there almost at the intersection of 1604. And it's not an exclusive group. All are invited. And if you can attend, please let Eileen know so that she can make sure the restaurant is prepared for us. And since we food is especially associated with meeting, do mark your calendars for Saturdays at 9:30. Both the Romeo and Juliet's fellowship groups meet at Sophia's for breakfast, 9:30 a.m. And that gives you a chance to prepare yourself for next Sunday. And at 9:30, we have our adult Sunday school class, Christianity 101, and also the kids club. And that just gives you a warm up to our worship service at 10:30. Now, are there other announcements? I figured somebody had to. It was getting scary.
I have an announcement. August the 12th, Vacation Bible School. Come out and please support us. Peggy, what time? 8:30 to 2:30. Or any time in between. August the 12th. We'll be glad to have you and have your kids as well. Amen? Amen. I think that's all I got. That's all I got. You did birthdays yet?
Nope. I'm just about to.
Okay.
And once again, proving good people were born in the month of July. Upcoming birthdays, we have Gene Bixler, and that name sounds familiar for some reason, on the 26th, and Adeline Russell on the 28th. I think we got Addie with us this morning.
Amen. Amen.
That's a great thing. So let's sing happy birthday to Addie and Gene.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Amen. Yay. Happy birthday, Gene. Amen.
And if we have no other announcements, I think we're ready to go into our worship.
Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear Father, grant that we may live as sons of light and daughters of the day. Grant that we may understand the prophecies of Jesus and his servants regarding the day of the Lord. Help us to stay awake, to be sober, to be ready. We thank you, Father, that you have not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live for him. Grant that we may encourage one another and build one another up through these words and through our sharing of our faith. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Let us prepare now for our tithes and our offerings. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come seeking
but we come realizing that you are the source and that you are the giver. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and our offerings, that you use them for your glory, for your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
The scripture for today is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, Day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white and
in the blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Thank you for your love and grace. We pray that you help us to be alert and self-controlled. Help us to put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. We pray that you help us encourage one another and build each other up. We pray that you help us live in peace with each other. We pray that you help us warn those who are idle and disruptive. We pray that you help us encourage the disheartened. Help the weak and be patient with everyone.
Amen.
We pray that you help us not repay evil for evil.
Yes.
But always strive to do good to each other and to everyone else. We pray that you help us rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please take time to prepare your heart for the message that the Holy Spirit is giving today. Let us go to God again in prayer. Heavenly Father, you give so much.
Thank you, Lord.
And we go through our lives ignoring.
Thank you.
We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds this hour so that we may gladly welcome your spirit and the message that you have for us today. We ask, Lord, that you give strength and courage to Pastor Ted and let him be your instrument. Let his words be only yours. Let him put aside that part that is him and you be used by you. And Lord, use us to spread your word to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Greg, could you go get the children, please? Bring them out. Well, good morning, folks. I've got a story to tell this morning. And if these kids don't come out, I'm going to tell it to you, all right? I've got a story to tell, and me and Tessie, we've got a song to sing. No. I'm just kidding, hon. I'm not going to do it. But Linda's going to help me, though. She's going to play for me. But I want the kids to get out here, and I want them to hear this story first. Because this is a story I think they'll enjoy. Here they come. Here they come. Amen. All right. Now, right over here. You guys just have a seat. And I have no... Oh, there it is. Angel, you hold that so I can see it, okay? Because I'll tell you when... Not yet, okay? Not yet. Now, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, he can come on over. Yeah, come on over, Reuben. Yeah. Okay, big kids, little kids, and kids in between. There you go. I got a story for you this morning. And this story comes from, if you're the adults, and this story is about a little man, about that high. Okay, maybe he's a little taller, shorter than Reuben. A little man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And this little man, he had a problem. And what do you think that problem was? Anybody, audience, what was that problem? What was wrong with Zacchaeus? He was a short fellow, wasn't he? Kind of like Suave is right now. He's short right now, but he's going to be tall one day. And this little one right here who's short, she's going to be tall. But Zacchaeus was a short man. And you know what else he was, folks? You know what he was? He was also, huh? He was what now? Hold on.
Greedy and a cheater.
Reuben said he was greedy and a cheater. You were right, but he was a what? A greedy. He was a what?
He was a tax collector.
Hey, he was a tax collector, wasn't he? But he was a short man. Now, me being short, I got a special place in my heart for short people, okay? I really do. But Zacchaeus was a short guy. And you know what happened? Guess who came to town? Who do you think came to town? Who came to town?
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus came to town. Who came to town, huh?
John.
Yeah. Jesus came to town. Who came to town?
Jesus.
Amen. Everybody hear that? So Jesus came to town. And as when he came to town, Zacchaeus was so short, he climbed up in a tree. He climbed up in a tree. And you know why he climbed up in that tree? Why do you think he climbed up in that tree? Addie, what do you think?
He was a cat.
No, he wasn't a cat. He climbed up in that tree because he couldn't see Jesus. Say that.
He couldn't see Jesus?
Right. He couldn't see Jesus. So he got up in that tree. And he got up in that tree so he could see the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, Jesus said, told him, he says, Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. And you come on down. I want to talk to you. I want to go to your house. And you know what? Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. And after Jesus got through talking with him and eating with him, guess what Zacchaeus did? Reuben, what did Zacchaeus do? You said he was a cheater, but what did he do now after he...
He vowed to give all the things he basically cheated out of people.
That's right.
And the people he cheated out of them, he would give it four times over.
Very good. Very good. So you see what Zacchaeus, you see what Zacchaeus did, right? When Jesus talks to you, when he talks to you, you know what he does? He gets in your heart. And all the bad things that you do, he said, okay, I'm not going to do those anymore because Jesus told me not to do them. You guys understand that? Okay, got, okay. Angel, hold that up so I can see it, okay? Now, I'm going to do something never, ever before attempted. I'm going to sing. Okay? Now, here we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Savior passing by, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. All right. Amen. I didn't make too big of a fool of myself then, did I? Okay. Amen. That's all, kids. I just wanted you to learn about Zacchaeus this morning. Thank y'all. All right. God bless you. I came over yesterday before the birthday party, and I came over and I stood right here and I preached this sermon to all these chairs out here. Nobody was here, and it sounded so good. So I'm wondering, what's it going to sound like this morning? Amen? You know, I got to say this about that little story, and then we'll move on. When Jesus gets a hold of you, I don't care who you are, what your background is, what you're doing. You can be like Zacchaeus. But when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, oh my goodness, there's going to be some changes made. Amen? And there will. And that song that Tom sang this morning, boy, that really touched my heart. What was it? Are you washed in the blood? Awesome question, isn't it? Are you washed in the blood this morning? All right. Well, good morning again. Good morning again. All right. So today we're going to start a four-week series, and it's going to be based on the book of 1 Thessalonians. And these two epistles, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they were some of Paul's first epistles or letter, and they were written to a church in Thessalonica. And it was one of the churches that was established by Paul on his second missionary journey. And I wanted, and to say, saying all that to say this, we're going to get a first-hand look into how Paul, the apostle and pastor, encourages this young church. And each week, starting with today, we're going to take a different principle from 1 Thessalonians, and the name of our series is called Standing Firm. Standing Firm in the Faith. But before we get too far, I need to give you a little background about this little church. And I think this will help you understand the message. You see, Thessalonica was a coastal town, and it was on a major Roman road. It was running eastward from Rome. It was a seaport, and it was also very close to a rich, well-watered coastal plain. So these three advantages made this town, of this city, Thessalonica, the largest and the most important commercial and political center in all of Macedonia. So Thessalonica, this was a cosmopolitan metropolis. It was similar to the city of Corinth. Now, in Thessalonica, you had people from all over the world here. You had the Germanic barbaric people from the north, and they brought with them their particular pagan religion and their culture. And then you had Greeks that were there, and they came from Achaia to the south and from the island of the Aegean Sea. And they brought their philosophy and all their refined things that they do. And then you had the Romans. They were there from the west, and they settled there. And most of these Romans, they were retired soldiers, and they brought their strength of will, their wealth, and their political power. And finally, you had the Jews that were there. And they were they made up about one-third of the population, and they brought with them their religion and their beliefs. So you see, you had a very diverse community here. Very diverse. And this made this little city a very interesting place for the gospel to take root. I got to tell you this, folks. Where there is a diversity of people, the Lord will do a mighty work. Amen? What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter where you are or where it is, the Lord can do a mighty, mighty work there. And this is what he did here at this little church in Thessalonica. You see, they had all kind of opinions and power structures, and all of this led to persecution and segregation of these early Christ followers. But they had to learn. And just like me and sometimes you, they had to learn the hard way. How many of you have been to the school of hard knocks before? Amen. I've been there, done that. It ain't no fun. They had to learn. And they had to learn the hard way to stand firm in their faith, no matter what was going on around them. And there was a lot with all this adversity, all the pagan religions, the different cultures of Romans. The Lord did a mighty work there. So this morning, when was the last time that you had to really step out on faith? When was the last time you had to stand firm in your faith? Maybe you're in the midst of a faith-challenging season right now. As a pastor, I can tell you, share with you a personal story about when my faith was challenged. As a preacher for 12 years, my faith gets challenged when I don't see a lot of people in the pulpit. My faith gets challenged when I notice the offering is not what it usually is. But then the Lord, he tells me, he says this. He says, Ted, why are you worried about that? That's not your concern. Your concern is to feed the sheep. You are to teach them and lead them. You let me take care of that. And you know what, folks? He's right. I don't worry about those things anymore, because I know that the Lord will take care of things for me. And not just for me, but for you also. You see, we all experience some difficult situations. We got some seasons that come up on us and we just don't understand. Now, a lot of folks, that's not news to you. You've probably been through this. But the challenge is to remain faithful and steadfast and resolute through very difficult times. So this seems to be the exact type of season the church at Thessalonica was experiencing. And one of the reasons that Paul wrote to them was to encourage them to stand firm in their faith. This is message, it's a timeless one. And we can also learn, even if it was 2,000 years earlier, we can still learn from Paul's compassion and care for the believers in Thessalonica. So the first we want to talk about in standing firm is we have to be encouraged. That's why I ask you to stand this morning and give someone words of encouragement. I tell you, folks, you can't live in this world by yourself. Amen? It wasn't meant for us to live alone. I mean, as far as isolating ourselves from people. What I'm trying to tell you is, you're going to need people to come alongside you and encourage you when you get down, when things are not going right, when you feel like just, you know, throwing it in. Sometimes when I was preaching in Clarksville, I tell Tessa, I said, "Hun, let's just let's just get out of here," you know. And she would encourage me and say, Ted, you do what the Lord, he's going to take care of you. And you know what? She was right. So she is one of my encouragers. I wonder this morning, do you have someone to encourage you? Do you have someone to stand alongside you when things get done, get down, and you don't understand it? I hope you do. I really hope you do. And I've got some words for you if you don't have anybody to encourage you. That's what we are here for. When I say we, I mean the congregation. So let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just the first three verses. 1 Thessalonians, just the first three verses. This is what Paul is saying, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you continually mentioning you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see three specific areas of encouragement that Paul identifies in this church. He calls out their work produced by faith. He calls out their labor prompted by love. And he calls out their endurance inspired by hope. You see, work, labor, and endurance, they're all active and dynamic words used to describe faith, love, and hope. And this is what was going on being exercised at the Thessalonians church. I was having a conversation with a young man this morning, and he mentioned something that kind of struck my heart. He said that God would be doing a great thing if a lot of people was in the pews. And I believe that. But you know what, folks? I also believe that it doesn't take a whole lot of anybody for the Lord to do anything. Amen? You see, he wants you. He wants you. He wants you. So you can have a relationship with him. But believe me, folks, he could take rocks. They said, if nobody will praise me, the rocks will cry out and praise me. So it doesn't take a lot for the Lord to do anything. So, you see, and we want to remember that these three things that Paul talks about in these first three verses. You know, you see, they needed the encouragement of Paul to keep going in the faith, just like we do. You see, this is in large part why he wrote the letter to them anyway, so he could encourage them. He wanted to strengthen them and equip them and admonish them and tell them to keep going. Keep going. And he also says this to his son in the ministry, Timothy. He says to him, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he says, don't give up. Don't you dare give up, dear one. You keep fighting for the faith. You keep loving. You keep praying. And you keep reading your Bible. You take hold of the life that God has given you. You see, and you see, who, I wonder, who among you, who that you know has a Paul-like voice of authority in your life? Who knows you well enough to call out your specific areas of victory and encouragement? You see, now, throughout the New Testament, there are lots of references to things being built up or established. And see, in many of Paul's letters, Paul uses this type of language to talk about how we are to encourage one another. We are to build up into Christ and into a firm and unshakable faith. In 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, 8 through 11, the scripture that was read this morning, it says, therefore, since we belong to Christ, he says, we have received eternal salvation through him. You see, folks, when you are a child of God, you don't mess around with the night. Amen? And when I say night, I'm talking about doing bad things, sin. We are children of the day. We are children of the light. We belong to Jesus. And this is what Paul was trying to tell them. It says, the church is people and their faith. And Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not. But I tell you this, folks, it's well worth it. The reward is well worth it. And we need to encourage one another. When's the last time you took the time to encourage each other? When's the last time you took time to call someone and say, hey, you know, I heard you were going through a bad time. Or I heard, you know, things wasn't going so good. I just want to encourage you and let you know that I love you and that I'm praying for you. Those may not seem like a lot of words, but I tell you what, folks, when folks tell me that, it just makes me feel great. It just kind of builds up my faith and it gives me the encouragement to keep going. That's what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, and that's what he's telling us, to build each other up. And our Lord, he makes a declaration here in Matthew. He says, I'm going to build my church. And Paul, he picked up on that language, saying, build each other up, encourage one another. You see, Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is to continue the building project, to continuing building into the church that Jesus identified. You see, we are building for the new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we do. And he says, we don't give up and we don't grow weary of building one another up, because we know that in the end, Jesus tells us this. He says in Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not overcome it. I don't care what you're going through, what you may be standing against. Jesus tells us that the gates of hell will not win out. The church will win out. The church will be victorious because of Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Bride of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. We will win out because of what the Lord did for us. You see, by faith, we believe that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again. And we believe that he will eventually return. All of this is by faith. And by faith, we know that trouble is going to come, because Jesus told us that. He says that the enemy will try to deceive believers up until the very end. Don't you dare let the enemy try to push you down a path that you don't want to go to. You stand firm in your faith and says, no, no, I am a child of God and I don't have to do those things. I'm not a slave to sin. I am a slave to Christ. You speak like that and then you'll let the Lord know. Says, hey, that child means business and I'm going to be right there with him. You see, by faith, we have been warned, and by faith, we are encouraged to stand firm until the very end. And this hope and encouragement is repeated throughout most of Paul's letters, and most famously in the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul encourages believers to stand firm and to embrace the full armor of God. You see, church, our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with our neighbors. It's not with our co-workers. It's not with our friends. Our battle is with the original adversary, the devil, king of division and destruction. And he will do everything in his power to get you off the path of life and faith and onto the path of death and disbelief. But we've got to learn, just like the church at Thessalonica, to stand firm in the faith. As I close this morning, I want to submit to you a little game. I wonder if anybody ever played a game called Tug of War. And you know how important it is to get a firm grip on that rope. And you know how important it is to make sure your feet are planted. Because if you're not, your team will probably go flying across the midline pretty quick and sure defeat. And I know this morning that there are some here today that you may be engaged in an extremely dangerous game of tug of war. You're being pulled until you're just tired and you can't do it anymore. You lose your footing, you're losing your grip, but I want to encourage you this morning, today, to dig in your heels by faith, tighten your grip by faith, and hold on to what you know is true. And most of all, dear ones, do this. Relinquish your control. Listen to what I'm saying. Relinquish your control and give that control. Let Jesus take care of your tug of war game. Take a stand today on what you know is true and right and good. And if you need someone to walk with you, this goes for everybody. If you need someone to walk with you through the process, join a small group. Let me know, and you may want to get involved in one of our ministries here at church. Ask someone close to you for accountability and to check in with them throughout the week. We're not going to let the enemy take anything from us. We're going to stand firm and believe in Jesus, and we're going to stay with him. We're going to stand firm in the faith. And we know that isn't easy, but it's worth it to the end. So over the next few weeks, we're going to take a real deep look into Thessalonians and how they stood firm in the face of suffering and righteous living and ultimately in their future as a people committed to Christ. So I want you to kind of read ahead a little bit in 1 Thessalonians and kind of find out where we're going, because you're going to learn a lot. And most of all, you're going to learn, just as they learned, how to stand firm in the faith. So as I close again, consider these three things that Paul commended to the church at the beginning of his letter. He said this: your work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for sacrificing your life for ours. As we learn from the letter to the Thessalonians, please encourage us, Lord, in the faith to stand firm, to trust your plans, and to love others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, the altar is open for anyone who wishes to come, who may be engaged in that tug of war even this morning. Maybe the enemy has caused you to lose your footing, caused you to slip a little bit and not be able to hold on to the rope of Christ. If that's your case this morning, you can take care of that real easy. You can ask the Lord, Lord, please help me. You can come to the altar and say, Lord, and you know what, folks, for me, the hardest thing that I had to do was to let go of Ted. I had to let go of Ted. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let go of self. I'm serious. And that ain't easy. But I can tell you this. If you do that, Jesus will walk with you every step of the way. And whatever you come against, whatever you come against, know this. He's going to be right there with you, guiding you, holding your hand, showing you the way to go. So, if you got some things that you need to talk to the Lord about, would you come to the altar? And the altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you just want to say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come.
Please stand and join in our hymn of invitation. Thank you.
blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a strength of hope, and it will be lost in thine. Draw me
all those at the altar, would you just turn around and face me for a minute? Just face me. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have answered your call this morning. They have something on their hearts, Lord. They're involved in a tug of war, and things may not, whatever they're going through, Lord, we thank you for them. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, not by our power or by our might, we realize we can't do anything without you. Oh, Lord, take care of them. Answer their prayers, whatever they may be, Lord. And help them to live in peace. Help them to live, Lord, with victorious. And help them to know that you love them very much. Go with them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Toby, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amy, God bless you. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's continue to, excuse me. Let's continue to keep all of our homebound members in our thoughts and prayers. Hector Martinez, Esther Goins, of course, Elaine Bixler, Norma Glenn, Kathy Bedell, James Murphy, and Elizabeth Grazulis. Lord, hear our prayers. Cheryl is asking prayers for her granddaughter Stephanie. She's under the weather, and Cheryl is asking for prayers of healing.
Amen.
Lord, hear our prayers. Karen Lawrence is asking prayers for her mother. She's got nerve issues with neuralgia, and so Karen is asking prayers of healing and comfort for her. Also, she's continued asking prayers for healing for Doug's father, Glenn, and his caregiver, Jeff. They both need total health care, so for 24 hours a day, so. Lord, hear our prayers for the Glenn and Jeff. And Doug, he had some treatment again this past week, Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday was good. He's not up to par this morning, but he's still going through it and holding up. And Karen and Doug are out in the parking lot, so if anybody wants to say hello and
you know, say a prayer for them, they definitely take them. So, Lord, hear our prayers for Karen and Doug. Thanks be to God that they're here, still here in the parking lot and able to come to church with us. So, continued prayers of healing for Virginia Molinoff, her granddaughter, and her daughter-in-law. Lord, hear our prayers. For Gerda's sister, for Dixie Souter's sister, Homer Vargas, and Homer's neighbors, Joaquin Gonzalez, Gregory Puente, Alfonso Perez, and his nephew Dylan, and niece Anne Marie. Lord, hear our prayers. Ralph Thompson, Rio Texas Conference lay leader, for Matt Lanero and his family. They still need prayers of healing. They're friends of Jan and John. And joy seeing Bonnie and Allison. Hope before she has to go back to school, she'll continue to, you know, with her presence here. And Lord, hear our prayers for them. And God be with you. And thanks be to God, you know, you're at the end of the tunnel. So, and then you can come to work for us. For Sandy Bundick, you know, prayers of healing and support for Gene Bixler and his wife Elaine. For Cindy and Keith. For Linda Robinson, Vicki Ballman, Sandra Boykins, for Sonny Gossett, and for Trey, for Eileen Fader, and she had a beautiful birthday party yesterday. Happy 90th birthday, Eileen. It was a lot of fun seeing you yesterday. And all everybody there for you. Want to continue asking prayers, support for my father and his health issues. So, Lord, hear our prayers for Ken Austin. Yeah. And joy for everyone that goes out and spreads God's word. Greets their neighbors, greets co-workers, and gives them a thank you, and just let them know how much they're appreciated, because we are all appreciated. So give thanks and receive joy as we go out during the day. It's joy to see Ann Hollins here this morning. Glad that she's getting better and is here to join us. So hallelujah, Jan. Thanks be to God. Oh, I think I was getting ready to mention him, Peggy. Yeah, it's definitely a joy after 3 years seeing Roy Wood here. So thanks be to God. And also for Jim, he's been off and on under the weather, and he's dealt with a couple of losses of some beloved pets of his. So God be with you, Jim, and your fur babies. Lord, hear our prayers. And for Miss Sandy Bundy, it's a joy when she's in this church. Thanks be to God. Thankful, celebratory week. Just be kind to one another.
Let us prepare for prayer this morning. I want you to be mindful of the power of prayer. Be mindful of the opportunity that you have to come before the throne of grace. with all your problems. The Bible tells us this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but let your requests be made known to the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Tell Jesus about it. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we got so much to tell you. But you know what, Lord? We got a lot to be thankful for. And you know what we need even before we ask it. So this morning, Lord, you know the hearts of each one of us. You know the one that needs a touch. You know the one that needs a word of encouragement. We ask right now, Lord, in your blessed name, that they would have that encouragement, that you would give them that peace. And Lord, help us, Lord. Help us here at Alamo. Enable us to be your light, to be your hands and feet. Enable us to take the gospel, your blessed gospel, to wherever we go, whatever we do, to tell others about you so that they may know. Lord, it's not about a whole bunch of numbers, but it's about maybe one heart at a time. Please help us this morning. We need you, Lord. We can't go on without you. We need you walking right beside us here at Alamo. And I know, and I'm trusting that you're going to do it. Take care of us, Lord. Those that are not here, those that are sick, Lord, that are suffering, even right now, may be in pain. Help them, Lord. Help them as only you can. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We ask this in your blessed name. Amen and amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And as we depart from here today, let us remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you please stand and join in our closing hymn? Stand up and bless the Lord. As we leave this place, remember the message that the Holy Spirit has given to each of us. Stand firm in your faith so that all may see his glory. Amen.